I really like to refinish furniture. I've painted cabinets in two houses, some in bathrooms, some in a kitchen. I've refinished chairs. There's a piece in my family room I'm particularly proud of. It's a piece I picked up for free. It began life as a television cabinet. I turned it into a bar, complete with a small refrigerator and plenty of space for glasses. It's a huge piece. The finished product also has plenty of flaws, but that's okay. So do I. It gives me a sense of accomplishment. I created that. Saying all that, I'm certainly no expert and would never dream of refinishing furniture or painting for anyone else. My mind's eye sees much farther than my abilities, but enough about me. My guests today have created a company that does exactly that. Their creativity turns whole houses, some of them pretty run down, into things of beauty. Today, their advice, their inside tips, and how they manage not to flip out on one another when flipping houses. Today on Swan Dive, it's Turnkey Design.
Welcome to Swan Dive.
With me in our studio today, we have Kelly Lorenzen and Marcy Cassidy. They are the team that makes up Turnkey Design. It's a house flipping business here in Louisville. But do you guys call it flipping?
No.
Okay, because that's kind of got a bad connotation lately, doesn't it? Okay.
It does. We call it, we're home renovators, because these homes literally call out to us, and we make them what they used to be.
What do you mean they call out to you?
Marcy, we'll both say, honestly, we can drive down the road, and we'll see a house, and we both get an overwhelming feeling it's calling to us to fix me.
Better people adopt children and pets. we adopt houses. But it's the same motivation.
Yep. So you're driving around a neighborhood, and do you see for sale signs, or do you get intel on what might be going up for sale? Or
we've been very, very lucky to have a lot of intel. People know what we do now. Now it's easier. At the beginning, so-and-so, his mother passed away, they're thinking of selling, and we would talk to them. And that's how we started. That's our first house. That's how we started.
You remember your first house?
We do.
Vividly.
Yeah.
Scared?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. One of the things we did in the first house, which we have never done since and we will never do again, is we thought that we could redo the cabinets, that we could strip them of the laminate that was put on them and sand them and paint them and make them look pretty.
We spent
hours and hours.
But we kept those babies out of a landfill.
We did.
Oh, you used them.
We used them.
Yeah.
We did the best that we could. Then we had a painter come in and fix what we had thought the best was. And they were beautiful. Never again. Never.
But they were solid wood cabinets. And that's, we will spend more time than anybody should renovating old materials just to keep them out of a landfill and give them a new purpose.
So I guess you don't pay yourselves by the hour.
No,
never.
No.
We couldn't afford ourselves if we paid ourselves by the hour. Yeah.
Takes too much time.
It takes too much time. Yeah.
So you don't refinish cabinets anymore.
No.
No.
Now it's always new cabinets.
New cabinets.
But, you know, sometimes we'll find architectural elements that do warrant that extra investment of time. We reuse everything that we can.
So you're house renovators,
yes.
And you're on what house now? How many?
Well, if we count Kelly's personal home from the summer, we're on number 10.
So you worked on Kelly's personal home.
Oh, Marcy stripped wallpaper. She laid out my entire kitchen. I mean,
I didn't know that.
She did. I handed her the dimensions and said, make this work, and she did. Okay. And so we went from her plans.
Well, for those of you who can't tell, Kelly just finished speaking, and then Marcy was speaking before that, so you'll know. And this is the story. These people are good friends of mine, and we were driving around the neighborhood, and my husband and I are always looking, you know, to downsize and see if we can find something we like. And my husband, do you remember this? He said, "Boy, did you see that dump on the next street?" And you said,
"That's my dump. I bought that dump."
And not to call anybody's worm around the dump, but it did need a lot of work.
It needed a lot of love.
Yeah.
It was a mess.
Yeah.
It was just a mess.
And you did. And you tore out walls. And what all did you do?
Everything. We tore out walls. We put in all new electrical. The first thing we did was get the two 16-foot trailer loads of junk out of it. Mm. Yeah. And new HV, everything new, top to bottom. It's honestly a new house, you know.
Featured in the Courier Journal a few weeks ago.
Yep.
Yeah, it's beautiful, it's cozy, and is it really your last house?
Now, Melissa, you got to be careful. My husband could listen to this. It's my, it's currently my last house.
How many houses have you had in Louisville alone?
In Louisville, let me think about this for a second. One, two, three. This will be number eight.
Number eight. That includes yours.
Mm-hmm. This includes the one I'm in now.
The one you're in now. Mm-hmm. So eight houses that you have renovated, mm-hmm. eight houses that you've lived in. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's some magic to this number.
Well, look at Marcy. Talk to Marcy about how many she's done. This is why it's all started.
A real estate friend of mine said, you can't, she's been in a million houses too, and she said, you cannot fall in love with a house. You cannot fall in love with a house. And, she moves on, you know. She just makes her money and moves on. Well, I've been in the same house for 34 years, so you know it's. I don't really understand the reckoning, but I have seen your houses, and they're warm and they're well laid out. The flow is amazing. It's like anything you'd see on HGTV or DIY or any of those. But how do you describe your houses? Marcy, what's the goal?
I'm so glad that you said flow, because that's, you know, as I'm working with things in 2D and 3D on paper, that's the first priority, to make sure that there are no dead end spaces. We always imagine a large family in there, two or three generations, so we're accounting for the youngest that are running around that you have to keep an eye on, and comfortable places for older folks to step aside for conversation, and you know, traffic patterns that just keep all that in a constant mix. And so I guess we're imagining our own family holidays in every single house that we do. What do we need to do to that house to support those big occasions?
And the second most, well, really, hand in hand with that is light. How's the light going to work in this house? I mean, Marcy, more than me, has spent countless hours trying to figure out where we're going to get light in every room.
Like windows and doors.
Windows, exactly. Doors and how they flow together.
Yeah, we will move a door for no other reason than to line it up with a window so that natural light reaches the heart of the house, and that would otherwise be cut off from natural
light. And that makes
light.
That much of a difference to a buyer.
It does.
It makes all the difference.
They can't put their finger on it because they don't know what was there before. But that play of light, I think, is one of the most attractive things about our houses.
So we're going to come back to renovating houses in just a moment. But I want to go back before that. And as I said, these two women are very good friends. And I've seen the progress of this partnership and the accomplishments of this partnership. But let's talk about how we all met, because that's kind of strange, too. Kelly, do you remember?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. We went to church together.
Yeah.
And Mike and I said, let's start a little club. Let's have some people over for dinner. And we had a group of people over for dinner, which still today, how many years has it been?
I have no idea.
And we did people that
10,
know
maybe?
Each other. Yeah.
At least.
At least 10 years. And it was all people that we didn't know well, we wanted to get to know well, and didn't know each other. And that's how it started. So we started with dinner.
So Kelly walks up to me in the narthex, and I guess that's what it's called.
Yeah.
I get confused with the terms. But says, oh, you want to be in a dinner club? Yeah, I think it'll be really good. Kelly does not give you an opportunity to say no, does she, Marcy?
No.
Kelly doesn't ask your permission. She just kind of tells you what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And she's one who definitely gets you out of your comfort zone.
She doesn't know the meaning of comfort zone. The world is her comfort zone, and she drags the rest of us kicking and screaming into it.
A few other things I want to touch on about our relationship before I go on with house renovating is there's 12 mm-hmm. in the dinner club, and we have been known to dance at our children's weddings.
Yes.
And I don't mean dance like dance with your husband dance. I mean choreographed, rehearsed for hours and hours. Mm-hmm. And of course, that was Kelly's idea.
That was my idea.
Yeah.
My first wedding was our daughter's, who's been married coming on 9 years.
Okay, so yeah. We've been together about a decade.
So, Yeah, that was, I wanted to do a dance, a surprise dance at her wedding, and the dinner club was the people that were going to do it, so we did.
I say again, kicking and screaming.
Well, do you remember, I came over to your house one day, and I sat at the table, and I just like held my head in my hand. This is going to be so embarrassing. All these old people up there dancing, but of course, they loved it.
They loved it.
They loved it. That, and so we've danced it, like, 5 or 6.
Yeah.
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 Weddings.
Most recently, your daughter's
wedding. Yes. And I think Putting on Richard might have come after that.
Yeah.
And, we were a hit at my daughter's wedding. So that's one thing I wanted to tell you about. If you've never gotten a group of people in their 50s, I think we were all in our 50s when we started.
Yeah.
Together to do a choreographed dance at a wedding, you've really missed the boat. You know, you have gone through...
No, please add, choreographed by ex-college dance teams members, that really needs to be added to the picture.
Because they think they can teach us things. And clearly, speaking for myself, they cannot teach us things. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately, we do have a couple of people who actually know how to dance in the group.
None of them sitting here today.
That would not be me. That would be me. And then, Kelly, the other thing I wanted to touch on was you got your kids to go on Family Feud.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Oh, my stars. Well, I saw the auditions in the paper, and I called them and I said, we're doing this, as I do. And they were all in. They were all in. And I will tell you, the best part of that is when we got there, we got accepted. We got to go on the show. And for 3 days, it was me and my kids. Nobody else. No spouses. Not my spouse. Not their spouses. No boyfriends. It was fabulous. We had a ball. We had a great time. You realize who the weak links are on your team. Zach, sorry. My son never could do Fast Money. Ever.
But he wasn't the one with the funniest answer.
No.
Who had the funniest answer in the end, in the lightning round?
Oh, that would be my daughter, Bryn.
Yeah.
And the question, it was in the Fast Money, and the question was a food that you lick but don't bite. And I had the first go around, and I said ice cream, which was the number one answer, I might add. And Bryn's answer was a hot dog. And Steve Harvey said, you almost put us off television with that answer. So,
yeah, I might add, this is the national.
And so
they go and they do this, and we know that they're doing Family Feud, and we have a few dinner parties, and we're pumping Kelly for information, and you were so cool about it. Mm-hmm. You were so cool because you led us to believe that you didn't do that well.
Yeah.
It was okay, you know, but then what happened?
Then we won 5 games and a car, and they retired us off the show. It was great. We had a great time.
It was so fun to watch.
It's not fun when you're the person watching yourself on TV. I didn't like that, but I loved watching my kids.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had a ball.
And a hot dog is something.
A hot dog. Oh, we
but don't
bite. That little snippet goes around on our text messages all the time.
So I must say, Kelly is originally from Fresno, California.
Mm-hmm.
Marcy is from Pikeville, Kentucky. Can we say Pikeville?
Mm-hmm.
Pikeville?
You can say it any way you like.
How do you say it, Marcy?
Yeah, these days I say Pikeville. I'm sure growing up I said Pikeville.
And so I can't imagine two more different places to be from than California and Kentucky, or Fresno and Pikeville. And Kelly is a wonderful designer. Marcy is someone who believes everyone should know Latin. Everyone should know a little bit. And she's convinced me, too, that everyone would be smarter if they all just knew a little bit of Latin. Why is that, Marcy?
Oh, it's the roots of the English language. It's the way you get the logic of language, and I don't know of a better way to do it.
And you have a law degree.
I do.
And you work for a company that's lobbying and consulting in Frankfurt.
You know, this is the first session in which I have retired from that to do just this. But yes, until the last session, I was a lobbyist for several clients, including Kentucky school superintendents, the Head Start Association.
So now you are renovating full-time.
Yes. It's great to have a single
job. My partner is no slouch, I tell you. That's my partner, folks.
Well, both have grown children. Mm-hmm. And so they have boundless energy and enthusiasm. So I want to talk about how Fresno Pikeville design Latin, all of that comes to, how does that mesh? How did you come together?
Well, you've already explained to Kelly. She is this force of nature that surrounds you like, you know, winds and rain. And I guess she was the one who just saw possibilities. Where I would have also seen some limitations and drawbacks, Kelly sees only possibility and opportunity, and she makes that contagious, and I'm really glad that she did.
So did you go to Marcy and say, hey, I've got this idea?
I talked to her husband first. I said, I have this idea, and he said, I think Marcy would be good at this. And I said, okay, and that was that. I mean, literally, I called her, and we started. It wasn't that big of a sale for me. She was ready. She had done as many houses as I've done. We have a totally different design aesthetic. It's more meshed now as we've worked together. But she has done as many houses as I had done. So it was not foreign to her at all.
So all of those houses that you each lived in and you each redesigned for your own purposes, that's what helped create the business.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
We had been second opinions for each other for a while in those personal homes. And, you know, that had become a basis for knowing each other in respect of what we now do. That sort of grew up over the last couple of houses, that we just were friends, you know, to each other.
And the first one you were telling me about, I know you knew what to do because you're a wonderful designer, and Marcy's very methodical and all of that. First of all, how does that work? I mean, Kelly goes in like a raging bull, and Marcy is very methodical.
She is the reins on the bull. She is. And I'm the one that pulls her out of her comfort zone. So if you put it that way.
Yeah, picture Mickey, Gilly, you know, the bull in that, you know, movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's like trying to angle on occasionally.
So she's a mechanical bull. Yeah. You're riding a mechanical bull.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you get that impression.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it has been great because she reins me in. And I can pull her out of her comfort zone, and it's worked. I think that's why it works. If we were alike, I don't think it would work near as well.
And it wouldn't be as much fun.
It would not be near as much fun.
No. But when you're, and I know we don't say flipping houses, but when you are flipping houses, how do you avoid flipping out on each other? Because I know how frustrating it is. The few things that I've done, I know how frustrating it can be.
You know, that's a great question. I guess, you know, I'm going to go back to where it all began for us, and that was in a church that's all about grace.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, there were occasions where, you know, I'm sure we felt a lot more frustration with each other than we expressed, but things were never so compressed that there wasn't time to just go home, get things in perspective, and make a fresh start the next day.
And make a fresh start the next day, really. Mm-hmm. Great. You're right. It's just being kind and graceful with your partner.
Sounds like a marriage.
It is. It's a work marriage.
We have to assure folks meeting us for the first time that there are husbands in the picture, because when they hear we are partners, they want to tell us about all these other lovely women that they know. And we listen and smile and nod and then somehow mention a husband just to clarify things.
that you're not life partners.
Exactly.
You're
work partners.
It's
partners.
Hard to find the vocabulary.
So that happens often?
It's happened a few times.
It's happened a couple times.
A few times.
So once again, let's go back to that first one. So you walk in and how long does it take you to turn a house?
It's been 3 to 4 months on average, because we do one at a time. We focus everything we've got on that one house until it's finished.
And the one thing that we do might be different from anyone else. If it's an existing house that we're not going to have to gut, we do a full inspection. We find out everything, all the bad stuff, all the stuff that nobody cares about when they walk in the door until they buy it, all the not pretty stuff, and we do that first. And we do all the inspection items first, and then we start to put it back together and do the pretty.
Like the plumbing and the wiring.
The plumbing, wiring, the HVAC, the roof, the insulation, everything.
What will keep you from buying a house?
I would say structural issues that get in the way of being able to redesign the interior to live in the way we want to live in a home. You know, there are some houses where it's just cost prohibitive to make those kinds of changes because of something like a chimney that's in a place that cannot be moved and cannot be worked around. Most things, though, we figured out how to do it. How to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There hasn't been, I think, but maybe one that I can think of that we've said we can't. We don't want to do this. And there were so many issues, add on, and nothing mm-hmm. made sense. It would have been better to knock it down almost. And that's not what we do.
And what type of house are you working on right now?
Oh, the best yet.
The best house. The very, very best house.
Yes. We have made mid-century homes our focus because those are in neighborhoods that we love to work in. We would not have taken on something older except in very special circumstances. And there's a house built in 1923 out in Jeffersontown that was this stately home with foot-thick limestone walls and Dutch colonial with one of those wonderful gambrel roofs. And
she's making me swoon.
you're easy. And so it was on 12 acres that a developer thought, okay, park-like, but this ought to be a development. And when they cleared everything for developing into 45 home sites, they looked at this home and said, this home has to stay. But we are new home people. Let's find a renovator. And instead of putting it on the market, they reached out through local design firms, help us find the right people. And it came to our attention. We put our hat in the ring. They looked at our website at past projects and chose us. And we're over the moon about it. We're just now getting it permitted and getting that started.
So it's an older structure.
Yes, 1923.
So will your design aesthetic be totally different, or will you walk in and it's open and there's flow and all of that? Will you make it different inside than you have your other houses?
Oh, no. There will still be wonderful flow, wonderful light, but a lot of that was built into the house in 1923. It was a very thought-out house. It's just, we're renovating what used to be a massive dining room is now going to be a massive kitchen with an eat-in area because that's what families now want. They don't want a formal dining room. Mm-hmm. It's going to be spectacular.
And what part of town is it in?
Jeffersontown.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And it's beautiful.
How many bedrooms?
There'll be three.
Okay, I'm shopping. Go. Keep going.
3 bedrooms, 2.5 baths. Unbelievable kitchen. It's just a little library. It's going to be gorgeous.
So what spells success for you guys when you've renovated a house? I know it's not numbers because you don't do them. You do one at a time. You don't do them, in weeks. You do them in months. But what's the definition of success?
It's that day of the open house when not just prospective buyers, but also the neighbors who have watched it happen, walk into that house and just say, you've not only transformed a home, you've transformed our neighborhood. It's inspired all these additional, projects all around, with some sense of what's possible. That's the day that we take the measure of success, and those have been great days.
Oh, they're great days. And you give a house that has been most of the time just a mess, new life. And there's something about that where we've made something new again that's really satisfying and really, it just warms my heart. It makes me happy.
So the neighbors like it before you're finished.
Oh, good night, nurse. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They've become friends.
They become friends.
And often the person who would help us find the next house, they would want us to stick around and continue to work in the neighborhood, and we're often our leads on the next project.
And you have done more than one house in a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Three.
Three in one neighborhood.
In one neighborhood.
Yeah.
So they're all thrilled. As and I have a neighborhood where there was a so-called house renovator came in, and the neighbors don't like it. So I know because of the job that is being done or is not being done, apparently. I don't know. So it's not the case for everyone,
no.
For the neighbors to be thrilled about this.
We have not. We've only experienced happy neighbors.
Well, I think the difference is that they see us there every day doing the toughest and sometimes dirtiest work. Yes, we could hire the cleaning done, but here's an example. Yesterday, as we are in the final design stages for the house just started, we decided to sweep it out. Absolutely filthy job. But while we're doing that, we are imagining living there, and as we imagined living there, we saw a significant change to make beyond the, apart from the original plan that was just transforming. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have happened if we weren't in there sweeping. Yeah. And so, we're happy to do the dirtiest of work because as we're there doing that, design's going on that ends up making for a better project.
So it's not like you find the house, you buy the house, and then you turn it over to contractors.
Oh, no.
No.
We're there every day.
We're there every day.
All
we
day,
do
every day.
Anything that we can possibly do. We power wash. We clean. We paint. We caulk. I mean, we do everything that you can imagine. Anything that the contractors need help with, we're there. So we're there every day.
And often it's sourcing.
Yeah.
I would say a big part of what I spend time on is just sourcing the right materials. And sometimes that's going to be a piece of salvage. That's one way of containing costs, is just being willing to drive 3 hours to get, to pick something up. We have a trailer that we drive ourselves.
Yeah.
And a little warehouse now, right?
And a warehouse.
And you stage the houses?
We stage them when
we found, in our first house, we found an opportunity to get 10 Kohler Memoir sinks and toilets in St. Louis.
We drove to St. Louis.
A trailer to St. Louis to get these salvaged from a hotel, essentially brand new Kohler fixtures. And that went into
pennies on the dollar. We would have never been able to afford those later.
Exactly. And you've used them.
Oh, absolutely.
They're all gone now.
Ah.
Yeah.
Every one of them. But that's what we can save there without compromising the product becomes what we would call profit. And that's a part of the way we do it.
So I think people look at this business and they say, anybody could do it if you've got a little skill. Do you see a lot of people who try and fail?
We hear about it.
I mean, I don't personally know people that have tried it and failed. We hear about it because really, and HGTV has made that, people think they're going to come in and in 30 days they're going to throw up paint, put down new carpet, and they're going to make $100,000, and that's just is not realistic. And it's hard work. I mean, there are days where we work 12 and 13 hours at a house. It's a lot of work, and we're very committed to it. And if you don't have that kind of commitment towards it, you probably would not want to be in this business.
So think twice before you take on a house.
Yeah.
But I think you also have to be prepared to do the stuff that nobody sees.
Yeah.
Because thanks to the quality of inspectors these days, if you decide to skimp, and you don't do those mechanical things that get covered up, somebody's going to come along and discover that, and it's going to cost down the road. And so from the beginning, just out of personal values, we decided to invest in all those things that we knew would be important, even if not seen. But we understand that that's a place where a lot of people will shortcut and have cause to regret.
So we've talked about the fact that you're work partners, not life partners. You each have a husband. How are they with the business?
Oh, I know that my husband probably would not have bought the house that we just bought and renovated it had he not seen what Marcy and I had done before. In fact, he said that if I hadn't seen what you'd done, we would not be buying this house because he was horrified by it. And now he loves it. He will say it's painful to remember the days and nights we put into it, but I love it now. So.
He put that on Facebook.
He did. He loves it now. But he would not have let us. He would have said absolutely not had we not. He'd already seen what Marcy and I have done. So he's proud. He's proud of both of us. And I think Ballard's the same way.
Now as I hear him tell anecdotes about turnkey design to others, I can see that, yes, the hours can get long, but he's proud of us. And now, should our next house be a renovation opportunity? He said, let's do it. You know, and trust me.
For you personally.
Yes. And he would, like Mike, he would not have said that without seeing all these examples
of
our work.
Yeah. Ballard's kind of a move-in ready kind of guy.
So don't tell me about the labor pains. Just show me the baby.
Except he will put in a good pool.
Yes.
Yes, I hear that
the man. The man knows his way around a pool.
Yeah, he'll do that. But so he's ready to take on a fixer-upper.
He is. He is. And we'll see. We love the home that we have. But yes, if there was a reason to move, it would be not to a new home, but to a home we could renovate.
So I want to leave everyone who's listening with a little advice. I know that you guys have ability and you have, you know, just incredible creativity and an eye for design and all of that. But there are plenty of people who would like to make changes in their house. So what are some of the very maybe simple or easy things that people can do in a design if they don't want to move a wall? But or maybe they do want to move a wall. What's a big thing that you can do in your house to really make it cozier, nicer, so that you want to stay there for a while?
Paint. Paint is cheap, and it changes everything. I always tell people if they don't know what to do with the house and every room bothers them, to take it all down to white. And I know that people want to color a wall or do anything. I say take it to white, make your accessories. Start rebuilding your rooms with your accessories, and then see what the change will be. I mean, it will change. Paint changes everything, and paint's cheap. You can repaint if you don't like it. But if you start out with a blank canvas and then add the things that you really love and get rid of all the rest, you'll have a comfy home.
Mm-hmm. Agree, Marcy?
I do. And I've watched her do it. Mm-hmm. You know, she, especially with the home that she has now, everything had to be white. And
everything
then she started adding back one detail upon another, layer upon layer, and always led by what she loves. My difference is I have a sense of conventions, and it's very historically, you know, grounded, and I tend to put myself in a box sometimes in terms of wanting to follow certain rules. Suddenly I care about geometry, you know, I mean, something has to have the right proportions, and we're working with a golden mean here, the guys glaze over. Kelly is the one who has taught me to just lean in towards what I love, and that's one of the things that she's given me through the partnership.
Well, it reminds me, and not that I'm calling anything that you started out with trash, except maybe Kelly's most recent house.
There was an intervention on that one.
Yeah. Are you sure you want to do it?
Yeah.
But it reminds me of, and Marcy can probably tell us who originally said this, you know, one person's trash is another person's treasure. And you're turning it into a treasure.
Yeah.
Are you very proud of yourselves? You say Ballard's proud of you, Mike's proud of you. Are you proud of yourselves?
I think I'm proud of us, yeah. It's funny, our website, Marcy's been updating it, and I got to go back and look at the pictures from day one, and I'm like, I called her and said, we're really good. We've really done some good things. I love these houses. And you forget when you're in the minutiae of doing them how wonderful they are on the other end. And, you know, I'm taken back sometimes, but yeah, I'm sure proud of us.
So turnkey design is here to stay for a while.
Yes, yes.
You're very happy you did it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is pretty remarkable that eight houses because we all thought, oh, you know, Marcy and Kelly are flipping a house. Well, you know,
we'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes. Can you imagine?
What's wrong with
that? Who's going to wipe up the wreckage?
Right. who's going to be the first one to kill the other one? I'm very proud of you too. And I had you on here not because you're my friends, but because I really do think that, you know, people want that advice. Like, just paint.
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 Yeah.
One time my daughter, my younger daughter, said, she'll paint it beige. She'll paint it beige. And because there is this certain color of beige that I really, really do like. And I just feel like, okay, then you can make your room any color you want after that. You know, you don't, and you're not stuck with it. So she's like, she'll paint it beige. I know she'll paint it beige. but Kelly has certified that that's okay.
That's okay.
That is okay. Well, I want to, at the end of every podcast that I have, ask some questions. These are not new questions. They're not innovative questions, but I think they're interesting questions. So, Marcy, let's start with you. What famous person, you cannot say your parents, I always give that caveat, what famous person would you like to have dinner with and why?
Oh, that's a tough one. I am actually a lover of ancient history. And there's this fella named Plutarch of a place in Greece called Chaeronea. And I've read so many of his writings, and he was the master of an anecdote. He wrote biographies of famous Greeks and Romans and could sum up so much about their lives and contributions in a well-chosen anecdote. The man fascinates me, and I think I'd like to have dinner with him and hear a few more of his anecdotes.
Okay. Kelly?
Mine is not. Is it?
Follow
is
that.
Yeah, follow that. Great. Person has to be living or dead?
Okay, either.
Okay, no, mine is still living. And this will shock both of you, I'm sure, because I would love to have dinner with Doris Day, because I think we could sing our way through dinner. I think she'd think I was a delight as much as I think she is a delight. And I just love her. I love everything about that woman.
Okay, Sarah. Sarah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm suddenly seeing a resemblance.
I was going to say that. You and Doris Day have a resemblance.
I love her.
In so many ways.
And my favorite musical she did, and I would love to have dinner with her.
Just a little pillow talk.
Yeah, just a little pillow talk. Yeah.
drop some name. Okay, what's, Marcy, the best advice you ever gave someone?
Ooh. Unfortunately, I've given so much advice. I've been
a
teacher. You know, I've never had anybody come back and say, boy, that was really great advice. I've been asked if I regret having majored in piano in undergraduate school. And certainly, life took so many twists and turns thereafter that you could look back and say that was a waste. And I would say no. And so when I have had students that were considering college majors, I've said, do what you love for those years. Explore and take to the farthest place that you can something that you love. And if it's not vocational enough, that can come later. And I hope that's been good advice for others.
Kelly?
Mine's a little different, you know. I the do what you love. I would tell you the advice I've given my kids is to show up and work hard. Always do what you say you're going to do, but show up and work hard. And I think they all have a work ethic that shows that they took that to heart.
And just one more. Marcy, how would you sum up your life so far in just a few words?
Oh, a checkered past.
Oh, really?
Yes, I've...
People are going to think you were a stripper. You need to
tell them that's not the case.
No, it really starts to get embarrassing, when you have those conversations about the things you've done. And, you know, mine is just so all over the place and sometimes barely connected that I don't even attempt to describe it anymore. I guess if there is... a connective thread. It's been, this just occurs to me. I've encountered someone who beckoned to something new that tapped into some part of me that I wanted to explore. And that has just sent me sort of, careening all over the place. And it was this woman, Kelly Lorenzen, that did that most recently. And I love this place that I've come to.
Well, crud. What was the question again?
She's good, isn't she? She's good. How would you sum up your life so far in just a few words?
Blessed more than I deserve. I married my college sweetheart. I have had great children, great career. And now, at this point in my life, I'm finally living the dream with my partner, Marcy, that I've dreamt about always. I was just in California last week, and my sister said, do you remember when we were little, you used to change the furniture around in our house? And I was like six. So I'm finally getting to do all the things I wanted to do when I was young. So she's my connective thread. So see how I pulled that all together?
I do. I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
She does a lot of pulling together.
So I guess bottom line, and as we leave, is that, and I find this to be a common thread in the people I talk to. If you do what you love, it's the rest will take care of itself.
That's so true. Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. There's not one day that I wake up since we started this where I thought, oh, I don't want to do this. There's just not one day. I'm always excited and thrilled and again, feeling really blessed that we're able to do what we do.
Well, thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you talking on Swan Dive, and we hope that our listeners have taken away a little advice from the experts.